Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. If you'd like to hear more from us, check out our website, lifechurchohio.com, or look us up on Facebook. Search Life Church Ohio. We hope you enjoy this week's message. Well, again, welcome, Life Church family. It's good to see you guys, and hello to those of you that are joining us online. Again, in June, we've kind of started slowly reopening our building on Sunday mornings, but we know that probably about half of you guys or more are watching online, and we have a saying around here, don't we, guys? We're ready when you're ready. So when you're ready to come and join us live, we encourage you to do that. We've been using an RSVP system. And you can find that at lifechurchohio.com. It's the very first thing that you see when you go to our website. It says RSVP for Sunday service. And we just need one of you guys each week to go there and register the total number of your household that plan to attend. And starting this coming Sunday, starting next Sunday, July 5th, we're reopening a few of our children's and youth classes. So you'll see that reflected also on the RSVP system. So we're going to have the sanctuary, and those of you that are going to be in here, the families and the adults that are going to be worshiping God here in the sanctuary, if you're coming, you'll have a number for that. And then we have the Grove, those entering kindergarten through fifth grade. So we're going to go ahead and promote those kiddos, okay? So if you've got any kids entering kindergarten through fifth grade, you'll put that number in the Grove on our RSVP system. And then our middle schoolers, rooted youth, entering sixth through eighth grade, we have our middle school class on Sunday mornings. And so there will be that number as well. So you guys will see all of that. Again, one person from your household, just go to lifechurchohio.com, click on that RSVP, and that will just help us plan and serve you well. And you can get more information on all of this as well. We're trying to keep our website updated and relevant so that you guys can go there if you miss anything or whatever. And you can watch, we have a couple videos called What to Expect. So we did one to show you the building for when you're coming here. And also our children's and youth director, Catherine Burley, videoed one this week that's also on there. And that's for our children's check-in process. So all of that is on lifechurchohio.com. In fact, if you click on COVID-19 reopening, that's primarily where you're going to find all of that information in one page. So I encourage you guys to go check that out. But Catherine, as I was videoing her this week for that video, she's like, I am so excited to be opening this. So she is excited for reopening. She's excited to see your kids. And the classes are going to be modified as to comply with the CDC guidelines for child care facilities. So we are honoring that and making those modifications that are necessary. I also want to encourage you with saying that we're trying to keep our website updated with all of the current information is to start checking out our calendar page. So again, go to lifechurchohio.com, click on calendar, or if you have our Alexio community app and you're in the database, you can download that to your phone and you can go to your calendar on there as well. And you'll be able to see all of the things that are coming up. As we are reopening, we're like, hey, we can do some events again. A lot of them are outside, some of them are inside, and we have to modify those. But here are a few that are coming up, and you're going to want to go to the calendar and check this out. So VBS, Vacation Bible School, we're doing a modified one. It's shortened, but that's going to be July 16th through the 18th. We have a Life Ladies bonfire that's scheduled for out in our shelter house area, July 24th. And we're doing a drive-in movie, August 7th. Thanks for the idea, Chris. We brought that back out. We didn't do that last year, but we're doing it again. So drive-in movie night, August 7th. And then the women's conference. Those of you ladies, we told you we were postponing that. It's coming back. We told you we would, and it is rescheduled for August 21st and 22nd. So again, go to lifechurchohio.com, click on calendar, or if you have our Alexio community app on your phone, click calendar, and you can go through there and click on those dates and those activities you're interested in and get more information, okay? One that I want to expound upon this morning, I'm not going to tell you all the details of all of those. That's why I'm pointing you to the calendar. Did I say calendar? Okay, go to the calendar. Vacation Bible School. I do want to tell you that because that one is coming up soon, parents. So VBS is going to be Thursday, July 16th through Saturday, July 18th. And it is from 6:30 to 7:30. It's those three nights, and it'll just be 1 hour each evening, okay? And it's for children entering preschool through fifth grade. The theme is Rocky Railway, and we are going to learn how Jesus' power pulls us through. And again, it's going to be modified as to keep your kids and our helpers safe and comply with all the CDC guidelines for childcare facilities. But parents, registration information is being sent to your emails, okay? So you should have that, or you will be getting it very soon. So please register online ASAP for that because space is limited, okay? Volunteers are also needed. So please contact Catherine at lifechurchohio.com to help, or if you have any questions or need that registration link, okay, if you did not receive that. So that's VBS. So again, check out the calendar for all the details on all of this. Again, VBS, Life Ladies Bonfire, July 24th, the drive-in movie night, August 7th, and Women's Conference is rescheduled for August 21st and 22nd. Yes, I'm excited. So, hey, and Rooted Youth, I see some of you guys in here who came to the event on Friday evening at our shelter house. We had some pizza. You guys ate some pizza, right? Yep. How many pieces did you eat, Zach? You don't remember? Like 12, maybe? It was Little Caesar's pizza, which he was super excited about, Catherine. And you guys had a slingshot, and you did water balloons. And that was that fun? Did you guys enjoy that? And who had the best aim? Anybody want to say who had the best aim in that? That was difficult because I even tried it before I left. I dropped Zach off, and I tried it. And I was like, this thing, first of all, shoots really powerfully, which was awesome. I mean, we probably could have hit the cars on 37, maybe, from the shelter house. I mean, it was close, okay? But yeah, it was difficult to aim. So I'm like, who had the best aim? But anyway, the kids had a lot of fun with that. So that was our June gathering. So Rooted Youth, which is 6th through 12th grade, be out on the lookout for our July and our August gatherings this summer. So just wanted to mention those things. We're going to go ahead and pray for tithes and offerings, and then we're going to hear a message from Mitch. Mitch is back in the saddle. We had Ron the last 2 weeks, and Mitch is going to be starting a series this morning. So let's pray for our tithes and offerings. And again, if you're here in the building, you can place those in the box on your way out. We're not going to be passing the offering baskets. And if you're online, you can go to lifechurchohio.com, click on online giving for all the ways to give. Well, Lord, we do just thank you for all that you provide for us, God, our finances, our homes, our transportation, all the clothes on our back, God, everything that you provide for us, we recognize as coming first from your hand. And so we praise you for that, Lord. And we just give back a portion of our finances in obedience to your word this morning. And we want to be cheerful givers, God, just as your word says. So, Lord, we gratefully and we thankfully give this portion back to you. In your precious son's name, amen. All right, well, let's welcome up Mitch. There he is.
You're like,
oh, my gosh, it's
where
a trap door, guys. He's here. All right. And you've got a series that you're starting, something about wise guys and words to wise guys, I think.
Yeah, something like that, pretty close. I love, you know, tithes and offering, the verse, I think it's in John, talks about, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And if we have that heart knowing, number one, God, all I have is yours. You're the one that gave it to me. You supplied my house, my car, my this, my that, my kids. All I have is yours. But then also the second part of that is all you have is mine. And so opening up to the God of the universe who owns cattle on a thousand hills, and I mean, he can do anything and everything he wants to at any time, to be able to say, all you have is mine. I have access to that through your spirit, Jesus, is just amazing. So, putting that in terms of our tithes and offerings, when we just freely give and just say, you know what, God, it's all yours anyway. I'm going to give a little bit back. He's like, good, I can trust them. I'm going to pour out blessing beyond what they can even imagine. So there's that. That's not even part of the sermon part. But I had to laugh because, you know, well, I'll get to what Laura said. But so my series, I've called A Wise Man Once Said. We're going to be looking over the next few weeks. I don't know how long, but Solomon, who was called the wisest person to ever live. And so we're going to be looking into that. And when I mentioned it to Laura, she was going to, you know, she was going through the order of service and some different things. She needed that title. And she looked at me and said, "What's that name of your title again? Is it like Words from a Wise Guy?" Something like that. And so, you know, I called it A Wise Man Once Said. And then show me the next slide there, Jeff. That's what I envisioned. If Laura were preaching this, she'd be like, "Words from a Wise Guy." And it's like, you better listen, you. Like, I'm coming after you. Use. So, yeah, that's not, maybe that captures it a little bit, but not, right. Laura must be preaching next week. But that was so close, hon. I appreciate your effort in that. God's lover. literally. No, literally. But I am excited. I'm excited to kind of talk about Solomon, and he is the writer of Proverbs, but he's also the writer of Ecclesiastes. And so we're going to be looking especially today through in the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you want to kind of get your Bible ready and turn to that, chapter 4 is where we're going to be. But just long story short, and maybe we'll get to this during the series, is that Solomon had been pleasing God in a lot of ways, and he had prayed or received this dream from God, and God had said, you know, you can pray for whatever you want, and I'm going to give it to you. And so Solomon calls out for wisdom to be able to lead. He was the king at that time, to be able to lead the people well. And God was so pleased that he didn't just choose all the wealth. You know, it's like that genie. What would you choose if you could have anything? And God was so pleased that he chose wisdom, that he also poured out incredible financial blessing as well. And so that's kind of where we're starting, is just talking about this wisdom that God poured out into Solomon. And then Solomon kind of wrote these Proverbs, were just our short little sayings of just the wisdom of God. So I'm really hoping to kind of give it justice. But, you know, in the time that we're at in the world right now, is there ever a better time that we need godly wisdom? I mean, I don't think so. There, you know, especially, you know, going through COVID, and you're hearing all of this news information, and that's one of the reasons Laura mentions, and we don't really watch, we don't know what to believe on the news, through the media, social media. I mean, you hear one thing with COVID-19 that's over here that, you know, social distancing, and you have to, and that's what we're doing here. We're taking all these precautions, and then you hear other people on this side who are just, they know that they know that all we need is herd immunity. And I don't like the sound of that because it's like a herd and it draws in this weight thing that I got going on. But people are just adamant on both sides of this issue. And you could point to just about every issue in culture right now and just find information. Whatever you believe, you can find information to back that up. Am I right? No matter what it is. You can find somebody on the internet who has done the research and knows that they know this, you know. So we're in this period of information overload, and it's no wonder, you know, that so many people are saying that truth is relative. You know, I have my truth. You have your truth. And I think it stems a lot of because of we don't know what to believe, the information that's out there. So we, as followers of Christ, and those who maybe aren't there yet, you're still kind of dipping your toe in the water, and you're on your journey towards Christ, it is extremely important that we look to the Word of God as our one and only, our primary source of information and wisdom. So that's what I kind of is the impetus behind where I'm going, why I feel like it's important really right now to dig into that we just need the wisdom from God. In the book of James, James is the brother of Jesus. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, call out for it. And God, who without any kind of judgment or, you know, here's where you've been, so I'm not going to do that, is going to pour it out generously over all of us. That's one kind of promise of, if you pray this, boom, it's going to happen. You know, a lot of times we don't want to just kind of put God in this, the genie role where, you know, you rub the lamp and you pray for something and you automatically get it. God withholds some things for our betterment. But wisdom is one of those things, buddy. He is ready to do it right here, right now. So that's kind of, again, just a little scriptural basis. Just ask for it and you're going to get it, I promise. Let me pray before I get too far in. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that we are able to start meeting in person as we are ready and we feel safe. And I just do ask for your protection on this body of believers, those in this building and those who are watching online throughout Fearfield County and beyond, God. I thank you that your reach is going further than it ever has, I believe, Lord, that you are calling people to you in a larger way than maybe ever. And we just say yes to that, Jesus. We invite your presence right now. Come, Holy Spirit, and visit and be with your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, that's the series. I'm calling this part one, Comparisons Kill Contentment. And we're going to kind of dive into that we don't even many times know that we're comparing ourselves to other people. And so we get in this lifestyle, this kind of pattern of behavior that tries to live up to what other people are doing. I would contend, and I'm going to show you in the Word of God, that those comparisons will kill your contentment. And believe me, more than anything, you think you know what you want, but I believe we've taught many times that what you really want is peace and contentment with what you have right now. You don't need one more thing, one more anything to be more content. If you're not content with what you have right now, what makes you think if you have one more of those or a bigger one of those, you're going to be more content? It's just not, it's not real. It's not true. So I'm a big movie fan. You probably know that. And I recently watched a movie with Mark Wahlberg. I like action films, and I looked at him. I'm like, he seems like a pretty good dude. You know, Marky Mark, back in the day, I don't think I would have been I wasn't a big Marky Mark fan. He was Marky Mark, right? Yeah. Mark Wahlberg, right? Okay, cool. I thought so. But I'm a big Mark Wahlberg fan now. I mean, he's all buff and he's this action guy. And I'm like, I would like to be like that. And so I look at him and I was watching this movie. I'm like, man, he's just cutting all the right ways. He's a little bit taller. I'm like, man, I wish I was a little bit taller, a little bit thinner, a little bit buff like him. Why are you laughing? You're not allowed to laugh. You're allowed to laugh. I'm just kidding. So then I look at this and so I looked him up and then I wonder what he thinks. I wonder if he is like, you know, show us the next slide there. I wonder if he looks at The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson, like, you know, man, I wish I was just a little bit taller. I mean, look at his arms, it's a little bit bigger, you know, a little bit more athletic. He does that show, The Titan, whatever. And then I'm like, well, what about him? What does The Rock look to? I'm not sure. Go to the next one. I'm not sure it's Charles Barkley. It might be. It very well could be. But, you know, Charles is just a little bit bigger. And then I'm like, Charles definitely looks to the next one. Boom, look at Shaq. I mean, right? So, and then, so look at this. I want to see if I can block it out. If you block out Charles, just look at those three. Like, isn't that an amazing difference? But I could see, like, Mark, like, man, I just wish I was more like Dwayne The Rock, man. And then if I got to that point, man, I would really be feeling good. Meanwhile, you got The Rock over here going, yeah, but if I was a little bit bigger, just like Shaq and still built. And so we, I believe we kind of live in this world that wherever you are wishing and hoping and praying that God would give you and make you and help you get to just the next level. If I was just as big as The Rock, I would be fine. But Rock is like, no, I wish I was just a little bit bigger, maybe not like Charles, but I was like Shaq, you know? And so I believe, and I want you to realize, if nothing else today, you realize that, maybe I don't need that next level of anything. Maybe I can be and should be content with where I am right here, right now, with not one thing more. So who has heard of this before? Keeping up with the, did anyone say Kardashians? Good. I was going to bring you up front and pray for you and lay hands and cast it out. But there's an old saying, keeping up with the Joneses. This is it was actually based on a comic strip, like early 1900s, went all the way through like the 1940s, and it had to do with comparing yourself, your social status, with those around you. And based on that is how content you were and peaceful. And so there was this idiom of saying, you know, we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, the neighbors who's got a little bit, oh, they got a boat. Oh, we got to get a boat, you know, or wow, their house is really big. We need to upgrade, or their car, or whatever it is. And there was this idea, and it didn't start here, but I believe it probably tapped into what I believe that we innately feel this desire to be a little bit more, to have a little bit more, all of these things than where we are right now. In fact, advertising in general is built upon the fact that you, as you stand right now, are not complete. You are not enough. And if you have the iPhone 7, you are way behind, because now we have the Ultra iPhone 10,000, you know, whatever it is. And so we just live in this thing of, I've got to have the next one because the camera, do you know it added a pixel? Like, I mean, I know I only look at them on my phone. I don't print them out, and it doesn't really matter in the grand, but someone else has it. And it, so I believe that's kind of where we live. And I believe this is mostly unconscious. That this isn't a constant thought that you're maybe thinking, but it's just there and it wells up. I think sometimes we do think about it. You know, when someone has the new this and you're like, wow, I'd really like to have that. That would be nice. I'm going to work towards that and do what I got to do and put in the hours to get that. And then also, we also, besides comparing ourselves to others, I compare myself often to the old me, right? I mean, I don't know how many times I'm telling my wife and my son stories about how I used to flip off of this. You know, I'd do a backflip off a picnic table because the picnic table was there, and why wouldn't you, you know? Like, I tell these old stories. I could lift a girl on each hand at the same time, and all these stories. So I'm constantly, I feel like, trying to live up to the old Mitch, and it is exhausting because this body just ain't having it. You know, whatever it is, you just plug it in. And you know, as we decay in our bodies and this and that, we can't even live up to our own selves from yesterday or the week before or years ago down the line. You know, right now, personal debt is just through the roof in general. I read the statistic that 60 to 75% of Americans admit to living paycheck to paycheck. And even about 25% of those people that make $100,000 a year, 25 to 30% of those people still live paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, I was kind of, you know, like, why is that the case? It's because we're in this never-ending, never-satisfying quest for more and bigger and newer and faster, all of that. And we, you know, if nothing else again today, we've got to put a stop to that. At least recognize that tendency. When we lean towards that, we're saying that God, you are not enough. What you've given me right here, right now, is not enough. But if I had a little bit more, and so it's really self-focus. And so I want to get us out of that. So in that quest, I think it's actually that quest for peace and contentment. The Spirit of God, the presence of Christ. When we have that presence of Christ, we are, His grace is enough. You have enough right where we are. Proverbs 14:30, you don't have to turn there. It's on the screen here. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bone. And how true is that? That as we envy, it never makes me feel better to be looking and striving and searching for that thing, that newer, the bigger, the better. You know, you're never satisfied in that. It's this drink, but never feeling like your thirst is quenched. And I love just that. And again, this is from Solomon. A heart at peace gives life to the body. When we have peace, there's life physically to the body, but to our mind, our soul, our spirit. It's just, but envy, on the other side of that, rots the bones. I recently watched an Andy Stanley, that was my son, Andy Stanley podcast. I just love watching different pastors and preachers and teachers and just their insight and what is God speaking to them and pouring out. And if you've never watched Andy Stanley, he's just very relatable. Anybody and everybody can listen to him for the first time and you're like, wow, he puts it in a way that you just kind of get it. But here's the way he kind of puts what I'm talking about. He says, there is always somebody with more You know, somebody that is rich-er and skinny-er and smart-er and hip-er and their house is big-er and their girlfriend is pretty-er. Their job is bet-er and maybe more talented-er. That's not a word. Whatever it is. What's It is today. That's what pastors do is make up words. But he goes on and then he says this. So when we're in this fight and this life trying to get more as we start surrounding ourselves with people with less so that we feel more superior. You know, so if we can't kind of live up to the Joneses, then we downgrade and we go over here to the, I don't know, the Smiths or something, where, you know, we just, oh, they have lesser, so I feel better and more superior, you know. But it's a never, sorry, John Smith back there. So we get caught in this thing, but it's always, you know, and maybe is not enough. And he says, how about est? I want to be the smart S, you know, the rich S. So even when you get to a good point, you know, like Mark Wahlberg, I bet he does want to be the Rock, like I would if I were him. But so he wants to be the big S and the strong S. I see way too many head nods like, yeah, wives, take it easy. But have you ever heard this phrase that there is no win in comparison? There is no win. When you compare yourself, there's never a win. You're never going to feel like, oh, finally, I've arrived and I can just camp there. This is good. And then, because then it's always like, oh, wait, he just came out with a 2.0, you know, and now, well, mine's kind of shady, and I've had it for over a year now, so I should probably upgrade to whatever it is. And it's not just stuff, and I hear myself already talking as if this is all about stuff. This isn't just about accumulating things. It is about who we are as people, you know, again, with the smarter or whatever it may be. It's intellectual, but it's also your heart and your soul. So again, we're going to look at the main scriptures in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. So if you want to turn there, we're just going to kind of go through what I feel is just an incredible passage. It really just woke me up in a lot of great ways as I've been studying actually over the last couple weeks. And I hope you really get some good stuff from this as well. But we're going to start in verse number 4. So just to give you a little bit of background, this is Solomon writing. He's towards the end of his life. And again, God has poured out more wisdom on him than any other human being in history. And even more than anybody else would ever experience. I don't know how that lines up with Jesus. I actually kind of have a theory that Jesus, I would figure, would be the smartest man to ever live, but he intentionally kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, Lord, but he kind of dumbed himself down. He became more human in that sense. He wasn't relying 100% on his deity. He came here in the person of Jesus, and that's a lot of the sacrifice. He had to live a human life in order for his sacrifice to be sufficient for us. And I believe it's in that same category that he didn't have the wisest brain, and that he was learning in continual prayer with the Father, and that's why he had these incredible revelations, as he was continually talking. So, and to go back to here, it was Solomon that God said was going to be the wisest person ever to live. At the end of his life, he's wanting to pour out this wisdom on his people and anybody who would listen. So starting in verse 4, he says this, and I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. Now, if you stop and think about that all labor, everything, all this toiling, this hard labor, everything, all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. That's a bold statement. But us as believers and followers of Christ, we believe it to be true because it's in the Word of God, and we believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God itself. So when I see that, I'm like, oh man, everything that we do and achieve is from this envy of our neighbor. We're looking at our neighbor, trying to compare ourselves. How do we measure up to them? And based on that is how we feel. And then he goes on to say, this too is meaningless. We're in the middle of another larger kind of thing that he's doing here, but this too is meaningless. And I love this phrase, a chasing after the wind. To the degree that we are all about, that our labor and achievement are all about our neighbor's stuff, or what the Joneses have, or what we can do. I wish I was smarter, or thinner, or taller, or this, that that we talked about, that all of that springs from our envy of our neighbors, and it is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. You know, you're grabbing... Oh, who did that? That's Ecclesiastes 4. I did the inside. I can never blame anybody but me. That was mine. Ecclesiastes 4:4. Hopefully I change it on the next slides. Thank you, wifey. But that's a great... So going back to this chasing after the wind, it's just a meaningless. And if you look up the word meaningless in the original language, it means meaningless, without meaning, pointless, just fruitless, frustratingly, like you're chasing. You can never capture the wind. And to me, it goes to this story of I used to be in the building industry. I started off doing a lot of different phases on houses. So at one point, I was framing houses for several years. And that's the stick building, you know, the skeleton, the wood, the 2x4s, that kind of stuff. I was one of the grunt laborers. And then also, I was a rafter monkey, which means I was a guy that climbed up all the way in the trusses, you know, and kind of tied those two together. I was like, woo, woo, wah, you know, and hold with one hand the nails, and you go, so I was the one climbing up there and doing all that. One day we had a load of lumber delivered out to a property, and they sat it in the worst possible place. We weren't there. We were out to lunch. And when we came back, we're like, oh. There's no way it was like right in the driveway, so no trucks were going to be able to do deliveries, yada, yada. So we knew what we had to do. Take off your belts, and it's time to move the lumber load. So we do that. We move it over. We find a good place out in the yard, and we move this whole load. It took us like an hour, hour and a half. And then the well company had come by, and they said, that's right. We're going to be doing the well next week. And we're like, you are kidding. So we spent the next hour, hour and a half, moving that pile to another place. And that epitomizes what this word meaningless means. That is, we just envy and we strive after what the neighbors have. It is so meaningless. It's like moving a pile twice. You know, it's worthless work. It's stuff that had it been better planned out, it could have, had we done it, it would have been one time. And we wouldn't even have done the labor. So to me, that hopefully that you've probably had those experiences too. Like, wow, what a waste of time, energy, effort, your mind. You get frustrated and boom. And that's exactly what can happen when we start comparing ourselves to everybody around us. So moving on in Ecclesiastes. Yes, I've got it. 4 through. That is really weird. I didn't do that slide. What's that? You changed it? Oh, all right. Good job, Jeff, working on the fly. I like it. All right, so moving on in Ecclesiastes, going to verse 5 there in chapter 4. It says, the fool folds his hands and ruins himself. So you can either strive and toil and do all those things, and you'll see this a lot in Proverbs and in Solomon's mind. He flips it. He goes from one extreme to the next. That verse 5, it just goes to the opposite side. Well, you know, a fool will just fold his hands and ruin himself. So you can just give up and not even try. You can over-try and overdo and over-strive, or you can do nothing. And he's saying, well, that's silly. That's foolish. We don't want to go to the total other side of that because that's not good either. Going on in verse 6, he says, and this is so, so good. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Now that will wreck our American dream like never before. That is unheard of here in America, or at least in the world that I know. One hand, one handful with tranquility is better than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. That is huge. And if that's the wisdom of God, then it's true, and that's what I want. But if you're like me, and many of us, our natural tendency is to fill up both hands at any cost. You know, and I hear people brag about, oh yeah, I'm working, 60 to 80 hours a week, and I'm like, oh, you shouldn't be bragging. Like, I'm to the point where I feel sorry for you. Like, that's, hopefully you can get through this period, this season. And I know there are seasons. Sometimes you do have to work extra hard, but if that's your life, that's a hard place to be in, because I guarantee you're neglecting your own spiritual self, but your family and those around you and your friends, I guarantee those people are not in close relationship with very many people. They are addicted to work or whatever that may be. You know, I just heard Dr. Acton, and I appreciate what she's doing. She stepped down. I think there's probably multiple reasons there, but she says that one of the reasons she stepped down is because she was working from 5 in the morning till 10 at night, and she couldn't sustain that. Well, duh. I mean, that... To me, it's like, well, obviously, you can't do that. Like, we can't live a life that is just with our hair on fire and expect it to have no consequences. The consequences are, as we lose contentment, we lose our peace, our tranquility, and it's just not sustainable. So again, better one handful of tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. One of my favorite prayers for our building company that we have is that Lord, you would give us, and I think I pray this over and over at the beginning of our staff meetings, that you would give us prosperity and productivity, but not at the expense of peace. That through it all, peace would be our main thing. Well, yes, God, we want your productivity. We want to stay productive and do the right things and serve our customers well. We do want to be productive, and we want to be prosperous. Bless the work of our hands, Lord. Pour out the finances and help us to keep, be good stewards of it. But again, not at the expense of peace. You've got to have that peace. And I believe that's very much what Solomon is talking about here. Moving on to verse 7, again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. So when it's saying he's all alone here, and the significance of no son nor brother, it was just him. He had no one to pass on his inheritance to. No, his legacy and all of that. At this time, women were unable to own land and to receive that inheritance. So this was a reminder to him that you are all alone. Going on to verse 8, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Again, I think I'm reading the mail of 95% of the American dream right there. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? Why am I depriving myself of pleasure, of peace, and contentment? He had no end to his toil. He found himself and it appears here that he had wealth. He has, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. And that signifies it wasn't just with the money he's making, with his wealth. I believe that he was wealthy, but he was not content with that. He was toiling and toiling and toiling, and he had the peace of mind to ask himself, for whom am I toiling? I don't have a son. I don't have brothers. Like, all of this it's going to be what, you've heard the old thing that you're a hearse. You've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. We can't take it with us. It's all staying here. And I love that he's come to this place and says, for whom am I toiling? I'm not even enjoying any of this. I'm working so hard. And I know people like this, and my heart breaks, that you work so hard for years and years and years so that they work so hard so that they can provide this great life for their family. But they've worked so hard that they're not connected to their family or to their friends, because now work is their idol or whatever it may be. And I think we can do a lot of good things and put it in this light. We can be over fitnessed, you know, that we work so hard and we wanted this body that then all of a sudden, wow, I have no time to do anything else and I'm neglecting my family. I've been in that point before where I was just all about that. And again, there are seasons for all of this. But it's important that we ask this question, and that's what I want to challenge us with today as we're kind of coming to a close. For whom are you toiling? For whose approval are you toiling for? I know that's, oh boy, the English people are like, nails on a chalkboard, but but I wanted to say, for whose approval are you toiling for? Because maybe it's your dad or your mom. You know, I know at times my dad has been passed away since 12/12/12, December 12th of 2012. And I know at times I feel like I'm still working for that approval of my dad who's been dead for years. And it can be a good thing, and it's a good thing to work hard so that my dad would be honored and appreciative and blessed. You know, wow, you carried on the family name and you're doing everything you can, and there's a good part to that. But are you doing, you know, are you personally, for your dad or your mom or whoever it may be, are you working for the approval of someone who's not even looking for it? Of someone who just is already good with who you are and where you are and what you're about? And so for whom are you toiling for? I'm just kidding. So I want to kind of ask us, like, let me put it in this way. Whose kingdom are you focused on building? If, you know, no one else is looking, you know, you just between you and God, be honest. Whose kingdom are you set up to be building? Are you building your kingdom, your family's kingdom, your whatever it may be, are you building that, or are you helping build the kingdom of God? And I know there's crossover. Don't get me wrong. I know that as I strengthen my family, my relationship with my wife and my son, extended family, and all of that, those are great things in building up the kingdom of God. But are we so caught up with building our own kingdoms, you know, with the bigger and the more, and the newer, and this and that, that we are trying to just kind of live up to this lifestyle that you wouldn't like if you got it? Garth Brooks was incredibly smart when he wrote the song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. If we got every prayer answer we ever prayed, we would be miserable. We would be miserable, and we don't realize that. And I even feel like there's some, like, evil eyes looking at me right now, you know, like, no, we just don't realize that the things that we're seeking after, God lovingly withholds so many times, that when we're looking for that bigger and better and newer and faster, and you want to be smarter and thinner and this, that if he were to answer those prayers, we would lose sight of him and building his kingdom. We would start, it becomes in ourselves and about ourselves. It's this kingdom of self that we build, that if he answered those prayers, it would just feed into us and the more and the pride, and we would literally be further and further away from him. And that is why he lovingly doesn't answer many of our prayers. And we should thank God for unanswered prayers. I wish I had that song to play. We'd do it right now. So again, in the way we can tell all this, whose kingdom are you building? What's the fruit in your life? Jesus talks about, you know, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you feeling this weight of just toil and labor and all geared towards I'm trying to achieve? Or are you feeling the peace of God? Is your yoke easy? Is your burden light? Is it hard? Sure. But is there satisfaction in it? So we can examine the fruit in our own life to know. Again, just calling back on that verse we mentioned earlier, Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body. Are you experiencing that life around you, in your soul, in your body, all of that? A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. I've been there. I've been on both sides of this. And we know the difference. If we just stop long enough to reflect, we know the difference. So we know whose kingdom we're building. And I want us to be more and more aware of that. I'm going to end with this, and then we'll just kind of pray. This is by an article, a blog that I read this week, Ariel Vogel. Was it crown.org? You can look this up if you want, but it says this: the only true antidote to comparison is contentment, which begins with a thankful heart. The comparison trap compels us to turn inward, to focus on ourselves, what we lack, what caused our discontentment. Thankfulness, on the other hand, compels us to turn our attention to others. It's like a salve over a fragile or damaged heart. When we are thankful, we don't see what we lack. Instead, we see the generosity and faithfulness of a good Father and are compelled to meet the needs of others. And I feel like that is just such a good word, that the more we try to compare is the more we're looking inward. But as we just seek contentment and peace, we call out for wisdom. God is able and ready and willing to pour out all that we need. His grace is enough that we can actually, right here, right now, nothing more added. Your body doesn't need to look different. You don't need to have something different in your garage. All of that. We can be content with what we have right now. And I just pray that for all of us. So Lord, we do just we just ask that you would help us to get there in a more real way, Lord. That we would grow in contentment, God. That we believe that being thankful for what we have right now is a great start. So help each one of us right now. And I just pray a blessing on those in here and those watching online, that they would be able to experience just a real thankfulness for what we have. So Lord, just cover us this week. Thank you that you continue to protect us as a body of believers, either in person or scattered out throughout the area, Lord. Thank you that your hand of favor rests on Life Church. Help us to stay in your path, God. Help us to pursue you with all that we have. Help us to build your kingdom, knowing that you're going to take care of every need that we will ever have. And we just pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, well, thank you guys for coming again in person. If you want to wait, if you would, for the usher is going to be in the back here, and they're going to help dismiss row by row. So just kind of look to them, and we'll get us out as safely as possible. Feel free to fellowship outside in the parking lot. It's nice out. Go for it. All right.
I don't really know why I've been feeling down, I've been feeling so low.